Well, many of you know that that I grew up in Nebraska, and many of you know that yesterday my Nebraska Cornhuskers played the Penn State Nittany Lions in college football. And I was thinking this week of opening the message with comments about it, especially if my team would have won. But in this week, those who went into the Nittany Lions den got eaten alive, and so we won't talk about that. But instead, I want to show you a video about a guy. This guy's name is Kevin Richardson, and they call him the Lion Man. Would you like to be able to do this? I don't know what his hair smelled like after that, but those are some pretty big kitties to play with, huh? And this is not the typical interaction that human beings and lions have. Kevin Richardson is only able to do that after years and years of interaction with lions, learning every detail about how they think and what their, you know, what their movements mean and all of that. But still, how cool would that be, right? I mean, at least I think so. Well, one of the best known stories in all of Scripture is what we come to today, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. The expected outcome was that he would be chewed up and spit out, sort of like the Cornhuskers. But instead, his experience was miraculously more like that of the Lion Man here. The story, in a nutshell, is a familiar theme in Daniel and other parts of the Bible, for that matter. A good man is doing what's right, but others around him turn to become his enemy and betray him, and they set him up for destruction, but God comes to the rescue in an amazing way. Like I said, this is a common thread through Scripture. And it applies to us because as we walk with God, as we live to serve Him, that fact in itself puts a target on our backs as the enemy of our souls tries to destroy us. But thank God, our God is able to rescue, and He does. So, as we look more closely at this story today, we're going to see that it reveals some very important principles. And I want us to look at five things that we learn from the lion's den, all right? Five things we learn from the lion's den. And the first in your outline there in the bulletin is this. What happens when the same attack comes at us multiple times, all right? What happens when the same attack comes at us multiple times? Here's what I mean by this. In this chapter, Daniel faces a test, an attack that boils down to this: compromise or die. Right? And in this case, it was worship no one but the king or to be thrown into the lion's den. That's a pretty big crisis. But if you think about it, this is really par for the course for Daniel's life by now, right? I mean, chapter 1, Daniel is first sent to Babylon, and it's, hey, eat this food that goes against your conscience or bad things will happen. Chapter 2 is, hey, if you can't interpret this dream, I'm going to kill you. Chapter 3, it's worship the statue or be thrown into the fiery furnace. And in that case, there were those who wanted to see Daniel's friends go down. So they turned to be informants against them. And so now here we are. As I said last week, at this point, it's later in Daniel's life. He's an older man. And a time when you think that some of these battles might be over for him. But wouldn't you know it, here it comes again. It's even a different kingdom now since the Medo-Persians took over Babylon. But the same thing happens again. Other rulers in the administration didn't like Daniel. They were jealous of him because he was promoted. Maybe they didn't like him because he was an outsider, right? He was Jewish and not one of the Medo-Persians. Whatever the case, they scheme and they set him up to fail. And it's quite a plan. Convince the king to issue an edict decreeing that no one prays to anyone except him, the king. And that's appealing to the king's pride and his vanity. So of course he's going to say yes to that. Well, we'll get to more about how that plays out. But ultimately, their evil plan failed, and Daniel was once again delivered. But do you think he ever thought, you know, this attack again? Seriously? But let me ask you this. Have you ever thought that about yourself or somebody that you know? I mean, I've known people who's, when I look at their lives and the stuff that they go through over and over again, it makes me think, Lord, what is it about that person? Why do they keep having one physical issue after another without getting a break? Or maybe this person, why does it seem that they, just when they get things figured out financially, they get with another financial setback that brings them down again and again? Or that person, it seems that they're always the target for some controlling, manipulative, slanderous person to make their life miserable. Why? What is it? And you almost wonder, is there some kind of invisible, spiritual kick-me sign that they have on their back? Right? Have you ever thought that? And let's be honest, have we sometimes wondered to ourselves, are they doing something wrong that's causing this to happen to them over and over again? Even though the Bible says that that is clearly wrong thinking, right? You know, we can still ask that question when we ourselves get hit with the same battle over and over again. What am I doing wrong that this happens over and over? Look, I won't begin to pretend that I could explain that in that dynamic in everybody's lives. But for Daniel and for us, let's not forget, we have an enemy of our souls, people. Satan hates us. And he's not always the most creative in his attacks. He uses many of them over and over again. And maybe he figures, you know, if he does the same thing to us over and over again, he'll wear us down over time. And maybe we didn't give up this time, but maybe next time or the next, we'll give up on our faith. I don't know. But Daniel is such a great example to us in how he responds. He just prays, even though it's illegal, and we don't hear any complaining or whining. The only thing we hear from him is the morning after he's thrown to the lions, when the king calls out to him, he replies, O king, verse 21, live forever. My God sent his angels. He shut the mouths of the lions. They haven't hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. The God who delivered Daniel before and the time before that and the time before that, that same God came through and delivered him once again. You know, if you are one who keeps having to fight the same battle over and over and over again, or maybe just another variation of the same battle, whatever just doesn't make sense, please know this. The God who brought you through it before will bring you through it again. And even if you have to fight that same battle, if you're going through a battle now that you have had before, rather than get frustrated, maybe we can be thankful that, hey, you know what? Today, I am that much more prepared to fight this battle. And my faith can be even stronger because, you know what? God brought it through me before, and I have the strength, and I've grown in my faith. I'm going to overcome this one too. We can be grateful. Well, a second thing that we see from the lion's den is what happens when doing right makes you a target, all right? When doing right makes you a target. What is just so terribly unfair here is that Daniel's enemies are his enemies. Why? Verse 3. Now, Daniel's so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. I mean, Daniel's crime is that he did a good job. And so out of envy, these guys try to bring him down. The very thing they used to bring him down was his devotion to God, the fact that he wouldn't pray to the king. And that is just downright dirty fighting, isn't it? But listen, I say it all the time. Satan doesn't play fair, right? He does not play fair. And If you really want to serve God, if you want to do right, if you want to obey God's call to love people in his name, as noble as all of that is, that will not keep you from having problems. In fact, those things, doing right and loving people, those are the very things that can make you a target for the enemy. Satan hates those who are making a difference for good. And those who do good pop up on his radar screen and he goes after them. Now, that fact might discourage us from doing good, right? It might get us frustrated and cause us to just throw up our hands and say, well, then why should I bother if that's just going to make me a target? But no, that's the wrong thinking. Instead, we should understand this is the reality, folks. This is part of the deal with serving God and living for Christ. And it may be frustrating here, but it makes our reward that much greater on the other side, right? Didn't he promise that? It's true. And Peter told people who were being treated unfairly and being persecuted in his epistle, he said, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and enduring it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. God commends those who keep doing good, even though they suffer injustice for it. Jesus suffered for doing good, right? We shouldn't be surprised if we, his followers, do too. So that's the second thing we see. The third thing that we see from the lion's den is what happens when our own words create a crisis. What happens when our own words create a crisis? So King Darius, I mean, you have to feel at least a little bit bad for this guy. He seems to be a decent guy, even if he's not the most discerning of all leaders. To get suckered into making a very bad law, right? I mean, Darius likes Daniel. He respects him. He entrusted him to rule over a third of the kingdom, and he saw that Daniel did so well, he considered putting him over the whole thing. But because of the jealousy of others, Darius was tricked into issuing a decree that went against Daniel. It meant Daniel would be fed to hungry lions for praying to God. When Darius realized what happened, what his decree, what his own words meant, he was sick about it. He was just heartsick over what happened because of his own words. And it says in verse 14, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort to save him. And later in verse 18, we're told he spent a very sleepless, restless night worrying about the fate of a good man. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, hey, you're the king, dude. Just change it. You know, just change it. But evidently, the law of the Medes and the Persians stated that no decree of the king could be changed, even by the king himself. Those who tricked him into making that decree reminded him of that fact. That sounds crazy to us today, you know, that a king couldn't change his decree, but we live in a society that changes its words too often, too easily. And this is a good reminder to all of us of the power of our words. We can't just take them back. Like an attorney in a courtroom, you know, who says something they're not supposed to say, and they can say, oh, I withdraw that. And the judge can instruct the jurors to disregard that. But you know what? You can't unhear what you've heard, right? How many crises are caused by careless words? Proverbs says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I know that feeling of wishing you could take those words back and put them back in your mouth, but you can't. I know what it's like to replay them in your mind over and over, in fearing the consequences of those words and how the enemy can use them to bring guilt and shame and regret. Trust me, I know, because my line of work, you know, you kind of use a lot of words. But here's the good news, people. God's power and goodness were bigger than Darius's stupid words. Amen? And God saved Daniel despite the king's foolishness. And still today, God's power and goodness are bigger than any words that you have spoken that you might regret. He can redeem, he can deliver, he can restore, no matter how foolish your words have been. It's the same old way to just, first of all, confess, admit our wrong, repent, you know, turn. Sometimes we have to turn from what's in our hearts that made us say some things that we shouldn't have said. And God will forgive, and he can start his good work of redeeming the situation so that one day you can use your words for better purposes, like praising God and thanking God. Number four, a fourth thing we see in the lion's den is what happens when angels show their skills. What happens when angels show their skills? This part is really kind of neat. So Daniel is thrown in with the lions. A stone is placed over the entrance, and the king seals it himself. Now, again, Daniel's an old man. What's he going to do to defend himself from these hungry lions? I mean, everyone's pretty sure how this is going to go. Unless the lions decide, you know, he's too old, there's too much gristle there, and I'm just going to hold off on my appetite and see if there's, you know, something more tender that they're going to throw in here. I don't know. But the first light of dawn, the king goes to the den, calls out to Daniel, just in case he's alive. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, has he been able to rescue you from the lions? And I love Daniel's response. Again, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me. Now, there's a lot of things we don't know about angels. Exactly what they do or what they don't do. There's a lot of mystery there, a lot of untrue things that people popularly believe about angels, like when human beings die, they become angels. That's not true, clearly from Scripture. But the Bible does say this about them. The book of Hebrews. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So that tells us very clearly, angels, their purpose is to serve us, to minister to us. Is that a pretty amazing thought? Angels exist to serve us, and they're pretty versatile in their skills. In Scripture, we read that they give messages, they announce births, they rejoice when someone comes to the Lord. They guard things and guard people, and they have even destroyed enemy armies. And even, evidently, they can make hungry lions not hungry anymore. Or was it just that this angel, you know, put those lions in a headlock so they couldn't? I don't know the details of how exactly that works. So many questions. But bottom line, Daniel did not have a scratch on him when he got out of that den. Folks, we can call on God to send his angels to help us when we need help. I'll never forget a pastor friend of mine who was beginning some very special service. I forget what kind of a service it was, but it was a special service, an important one. He really wanted things to just go right. But there was this boy sitting up the front who was notoriously distracting. And the kid was there all alone. His parents weren't there with him, and my friend just knew this is going to be a problem. This is going to be a problem. So he told me how he prayed. He said, Lord, send an angel. Send a really large angel to sit on this kid and make him behave for this service. And he told me later how just amazingly, against all odds, against all prior experience with this kid was still, he behaved. He was not a problem. He was on his best behavior for that service. So folks, we have a God who sends these amazing, powerful beings to serve us, to protect us, to help us. Don't be afraid to call on them. I don't know exactly, again, how they work, but I'm very sure that I have given my guardian angels some long days and possibly retired a couple of them. I don't know. But Daniel credits an angel with saving his life. Someday we might find out just how many times angels have helped us and we weren't aware. I can think of some close calls I've had in my life, and I'm guessing there may well have been angels involved that I just didn't know, and maybe I'll get a chance to ask them someday. But we will praise God together one day with the angels. So this Thanksgiving, thank God for the ministry of his angels. They do more than we know. Number five, we see what happens when those who set traps fall into them. When those who set traps fall into them. There is justice at the end of this story. You know, after Daniel was lifted out of the lion's den, again, without a scratch on him, and the king promptly turned around, ordered that those who set the whole thing up, that who tricked the king, who accused Daniel, all of it, he ordered that they be thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and their children. And verse 24 says, before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed their bones. Wow, that's kind of harsh, right? But they did bring it on themselves. There is some justice in this world, after all. And everyone should take warning from things like this. Those who want to make trouble for someone, sooner or later, that trouble does come back on them. Even if it's not in this life, it will come. Scripture says, for example, one of many places, but Psalm 7, whoever is pregnant with evil conceives trouble, gives birth to disillusionment. Whoever digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit they have made. An artistic way of expressing this fact that God brings justice. God is a God who defends the innocent, who vindicates those who have been falsely accused. And I'm really glad for that, because that means we don't have to fret or worry about defending ourselves, protecting ourselves from the many out there who would harm God's people. God will deal with them. Those who set traps will fall into them. Well, this is Thanksgiving week, and let's be thankful that the God of Daniel is our God still today. And to again hit these points, first of all, you may get hit like Daniel with the same kind of attack over and over again, but over and over again, God will bring you through. And you may become a target just because you do what is right, like Daniel. And that's really unfair. But if it happens to you, you have joined an honored class of people whom God will reward. He promises to. Third, maybe you're one whose words have gotten you into trouble, created a crisis. You wish you could take them back. Please know God's grace and forgiveness and his power to fix it is bigger than your power to mess it up. Fourth, just know God has angels that he sends to help us. And don't be afraid to ask for that help. And know you may well be receiving help without even being aware of it. And finally, be aware, those who set traps fall into them. So bless people. Don't try to trap them, or you'll find God himself working against you. Let me close with words from the new decree that King Darius made after all this took place. And may these words be a source of great thanksgiving for you this week and always. From Daniel 6, the last verses. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray.